seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the first book of the Chronicles, chapter 12 and verse 32. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 12 and verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. The first book of the Chronicles, chapter 12 and verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200. And all their brethren were at their commandment. There's a wonderful record found in this chapter of all the armbands that came to David at Hebron. And they were all from the tribes of the descendants of dear father Israel. And we find something very wonderful here. First of all, how were they to go up? And what was the desire of David as they went up? They were to all be united in peace. And the desire was it not, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. It's a solemn thing, you know, where there are those that are striving for difficulties, those that are striving to cause trouble, and those that are striving to cause disorder. But what a blessed thing when there's a real striving for peace like there was here. In spite of all their different thoughts and different ways, they'd all got to be of one mind, of one heart, seeking for peace. There's a good word in the Psalms. It's a very precious word to my soul. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. But this word has rested upon me so much, which we have named as a text, as we were sitting by the bedside of my sister-in-law in the last hours of her life, these words seemed to drop into my heart. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. And I want us help to look at it a little this afternoon. Issachar, of course, was one of the sons of Father Israel, Jacob. And we find him spoken of in the 49th chapter of Genesis, and too in the blessings of the 12 tribes of Israel at the death of Moses, or just prior to Moses' death. And we read concerning Issachar. Issachar is a strong ass couching between two burdens, and he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. And I feel we just need to look a little at this as we venture into the text. First, Issachar is a strong ass couching between two burdens. He was between Zebulun and Dan. And in the dividing of the land up between the 12 tribes, there was Zebulun on one side and Dan, the Danites, on the other. He was between these two burdens. And yet the Lord made him strong, couching between these two burdens. And now I want to look at it in respect to each of us. There may be those of you why the Lord has given me this word, couching between two burdens. You see, there were differences between the Zebulun and Issachar, and between Dan and Issachar. And this was a great burden to him. There were burdens on one side. If he looked, there were burdens on the other. But the Lord wonderfully made him strong in it all. And there's a wonderful spiritual interpretation too of this. You see, sometimes we're between two burdens, like the great burden of our sin, the burden of our soul, and then there are the burdens of providence, the burdens in our families, and then, of course, if we look deep in our heart, the great burdens there are there, and those that are burdened about following the Lord, or burden concerning the ministry, couching between two burdens. But it seemed to so come upon me, the need to be strong under these things. And we find recorded concerning Issachar, Issachar is a strong ass couching between two burdens. You see, they used the ass a lot in those days to carry many things. And they had the burden, like of corn, put on one side and on the other. And the ass had to couch between it to carry. And are there those of you, maybe today, carrying two burdens? It may be a burden of your own soul. It may be the burden of one in your family, or all in your family, couching between the two burdens. Now, in and of ourselves, we soon begin to sink, don't we, under one burden, let alone two. But oh, with Issachar, we find here, Issachar is strong. This is what the Lord recorded concerning him. Now, look in your heart and in mine. May we not be left to faint under these burdens. It's easy for us to do, isn't it? We're poor creatures of the earth. We've no strength of ourselves. But those of you that may have got one burden or two burdens today. May it be said of us, Issachar is a strong ass. Where did he get his strength from? From the Lord himself. Where do you get yours from? Strength naturally, strength spiritually. We read of those that were strong in the Lord, don't we? If you look in the case of dear Joshua that we named in conclusion this morning, you think how many times the Lord said to him, be strong and of a good courage. Now may that be a word in season to those of you today that may be couching between two burdens. Be strong in the Lord and of a good courage. And then we read concerning him, and he saw that rest was good. You think about that naturally first. Do we not need rest? And it's a wonderful thing when we're able to rest. Rest is a wonderful thing to the recouping of our strength and the restoring of our bodies in weakness and in affliction. And after maybe a hard day's toil in this earth, rest. And he says here, he saw that rest was good. But then look at it spiritually. Do we not need rest for our souls? And let me just remind you of that precious word of the Saviour. When he said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And then listen, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, to rest in the dear Lord Jesus. Rest in his arms. Rest in his finished work. What he accomplished at Calvary. And what about this rest? He said he found it to be good. It was good rest. It was for the encouragement of his soul and the strengthening of his body. And then we read, and the land, that it was pleasant. The land, it was pleasant. And you think, what a mercy it is when we're in a pleasant land. Oh, you think of the children of Israel as they entered into the promised land. How pleasant it was. So different than the wilderness they'd been travelling through. And it may be, we can look at a few ways has helped. The pathway you've been walking in, it may be very difficult, very trying, very troublesome. But you long to have the land pleasant once more. Favourable. And you think of dear old Jacob when the Lord revealed to him Joseph was yet alive and he would go down into Egypt to see him before he died. And what a pleasant land that land of Goshen was to him, wasn't it? So different than the troubles he'd been going through before. And then we could liken it to the times when we are favoured with the sweet presence and help and comfort of the Lord in our soul and in our pathway. What a pleasant land. A blessed place to be in, isn't it? But then, of course, finally, it speaks of heaven. Heaven is that holy, happy place where sin no more defiles, the dear hymn writer said. And oh, you think of those that have been removed from this earth here, from among us, and those connected to us, you see. What a blessed land they now in. A land of pure delight. And well could they say, the land that it was pleasant. The land it was pleasant. And oh, what a pleasant land glory is. Glory, glory, glory in Emmanuel's land. Well, much could be said on that. And then, and bowed his shoulders to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Look how willing Issachar was to bow, and bowed his shoulders to bear. Willing to bear whatever the Lord laid on him. You know, we need much grace to be willing to bear whatever the Lord lays on us, whether it lay, he lays affliction or trouble or distress or exercises or burdens, whatever they may be. And here we find he bowed his shoulders to bear. Willing to bear them, not resisting it, submissive, you see, resigned to what the Lord had laid upon him. And oh, what a sacred thing when the Lord makes us willing. We think of that beautiful word in the 110th Psalm, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You think of the offices of the church, you think of the ministry, the diaconate, or even those exercises concerning following the Lord, the burden of following him and the wonderful favour of being among his people in the church of God. But then there was something further. Became a servant of tribute. You see, I understand, looking at the history of it, that with Issachar, he was one that was to bear much of the financial responsibilities of the land and he was to carry that and became a servant of tribute. Well, that's a little concerning what the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning Issachar. But I want to look as helped at this text. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Now the Holy Spirit has wonderfully left this on record. And if ever there was a day we need men of understanding, it is in this solemn day in which we live. Now, I pray the Lord might help me just to look a little into this. First of all, what does the wise man say, Solomon? He says, get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. It's a wonderful thing to get wisdom, but in all thy getting, get understanding. You know, many say, what shall we do in this and what shall we do in that? But, you know, It's a wonderful thing when we've got gracious understanding to know and to do what the Lord's will is in all things. And we should strive to get understanding. Now, that is not in us by nature. You look how the Lord gave to Solomon wisdom. He desired understanding, and the Lord gave it to him. There may be things that you and I are walking in today, we cannot understand. You know, sometimes the Lord shuts a door, and shuts this door and that door, and men say, we can't understand it. But when he begins to open the doors to show what his way and his will is, then we can understand it. Let us just step back to dear old Joseph of old. You think of when he was cast into the pit. He couldn't understand why he was there. You think of when he was cast into prison, into Potiphar's house, and then into the prison. He needed a lot of understanding, didn't he? But you look how the Lord unfolded it all. We so often cannot see it at the time. We can't understand. And I'll use another illustration in a moment of this from the Word of God. But you look how the Lord opened their understanding, the understanding of Joseph in it. And especially regarding the dreams of the butler and the baker, and then concerning Pharaoh's dreams. And he gave Joseph a most blessed and gracious understanding. We read here, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. They had understanding. And oh, so much of late and throughout this year and over the last few years, the Lord has so laid on me, Lord, give me understanding in all this, that I might understand it aright. And there may be one here this afternoon, you may be in something, you say, Lord, we can't understand it. You wait the Lord's time, poor sinner, like Joseph had to. Especially after he'd showed the butler and the baker and interpreted their dreams, and he thought, as the butler said, he would speak well of him when he was freed from the prison. But no, 2 more years. Joseph had 4 years, we're told, had to have 2 full years in the prison. And then the Lord was to open the door and let him free into Pharaoh's palace. But oh, the understanding that he needed. Get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. And you look how, when in Pharaoh's palace, he could look back and he could understand all the purposes of heaven in it all. Oh, he could. But not until the Lord brought him to that place, then he could understand it all. And then you think of the dear disciples, to use the second illustration. They could not understand. Their poor finite minds couldn't begin to understand all that was taking place when Christ told them he was going away and going up to suffer, bleed and die. And then even after the resurrection, to start with, they couldn't understand, could they? But do we not read in the Gospels, this beautiful word. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Was it not in the two that journeyed to Emmaus? And he opened their understanding. And it may be in things you're in today, poor soul, you can't understand them. And the natural man can't. The ways of God, you know, are past finding out. We have to prove, don't we, continually what dear Mr. Cowper said in that hymn, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And the children of Issachar, which were men of understanding. We read concerning the catalogue as we read, and it's in the first part of the chapter 2, of all those that were named. But it speaks particularly of Issachar, that they were men of had understanding. Of the times and all that they were in, and they can understand it because the Lord had unfolded it to them. But then let us come to the Word of God. There's much in the Word of God that we cannot begin to understand, and we may never understand it. But you know, the Lord will give us understanding of his precious word. You know, natural man tries to fathom out, and especially in these days where there's so much natural education, which is a wonderful thing naturally, but we can never understand the word of God with natural understanding. Many try, but so often I've had to come to the place where Joseph Hart came when he meditated upon the birth of the Lord Jesus. You know, the dear mother of Christ, Mary, she couldn't understand how this should be, could she? That she would bring forth the Son of God. And it wasn't until the Lord opened her understanding she could understand it all. Where men go wrong today is this. They try and fathom it out with their own carnal minds. And you can never get real understanding of the Word of God with the carnal mind. It's past all natural understanding. What does Joseph Hart say concerning the birth of Christ? Bow down, sense and reason. Faith only reigns here. Faith only reigns here. And you see, faith will lay hold of the precious word, and as faith lays hold of it, the Lord will give the soul understanding. Oh, he will. They can understand it now as he unfolds it. And that's a wonderful thing. And one feels my, and prayer is really, that the Lord would grant us in our little denomination such characters as Issachar and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. When I first went on the Gospel Standard Committee in 1988, I used to look around the table at those dear men, and I think there's only four that are still living today. And I used to think, you know, they're men of understanding. They knew what to do in crisis, in times of trouble. There was no ifs and buts and hows about it. We live in a day where you go round and round in matters because of lack of understanding. But you see, those godly saints, and we think of some that were here in days past, you know, they were men of understanding. They understood the times. And think of this solemn day, and then what we need with all the solemn things that are going on in the nation, do we not need such characters as this in our beloved land? Oh, may we have much fervent prayer that the Lord would raise up such as the children of Issachar. As it's recorded here, which were, not they may be, this is what the Holy Spirit has left on record, which were men that had understanding of the times. And you think we were favoured with Winston Churchill in the last war, and the understanding the Lord gave to that man and to many around him of how to deal with the times of those of that war. They were real statesmen. Where are they today? There's a great lack of understanding. Oh, there is. And we bring it right home to our own heart. Because how we lack understanding in so many things. The things concerning Zion, the things concerning our pathways, the things concerning our souls. But may it stir us up this word this afternoon that we might each plead for more and more gracious understanding. And that the Lord would raise up men that had understanding of the times. But this wasn't all, was it? Not only had they got to have understanding of the times, and let us just tarry a moment before we go further, understanding of the Lord's times in things. You know, there's sometimes we try and make haste in things, don't we? There's a word I often think about in the holy word of God. And it's this. He that believeth shall not make haste. We know there are two words that speak of haste. The king's business requireth haste. There are times when the king's business does require haste. But I often think of that word, you know. He that believeth shall not make haste. And may the Lord give us grace to submit to that. And understanding to understand it. To discern. You see, where there's gracious understanding, there's discernment. And this is what's so lacking in the nation and throughout the denomination. The lack of discernment. You see, men of understanding have discernment, if you look at it in a natural way. Those that understand the runnings of business, they understand it. They discern what is right to do. And think about it spiritually. The great need in this solemn day, and many of our chapels, sadly, deacons in them haven't any lack understanding, and they lack discernment. Many chapels that really trouble me that they've no discernment whatsoever. They have this one in the pulpit and that one, and it's just really to occupy it. Lack of discernment and lack of understanding. Our godly forefathers, they had wonderful discernment and they had wonderful understanding. God-given understanding. And they understood the mind of the Lord, His will, His ways, and how to walk and how to act. Men of understanding. But I must leave that for your meditation. He goes further here. To know what Israel ought to do. Well, may the Lord help me just to look a little into this. Are we personally, look in each of your hearts and mine, like the Apostle Paul on that Damascus road when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, in the hours and days prior to that, as Saul of Tarsus, all he wanted to do was his own will and his own way and to please men and do the things that were just of this earth. But now, under the grace of God, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was his great concern. And he wanted to know what to do. And what the Lord's will was for him to do. And you know the Lord told him, didn't he? Arise and go into the city, where it shall be told thee what thou must do. Not what you think you should do, but that thou must do. And what was it? It was to do the will of God and to obey his voice. Now these men of the children of Issachar, not only had they got understanding, but they, of the times, but they knew what Israel ought to do. And when you stretch it forth to the denomination and through the country in which we dwell in, how many really know what Britain and the British Isles should do? They go here, they go there, they go somewhere else instead of going to the Lord. They lack understanding and they know not what to do. They know not what to do. You think in the present government, they don't know what to do with this or that or something else. They're scraping at this and scraping at that. They know not what to do. May the Lord in his time and in his way, if it's his holy will, raise up such men as the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Not what they thought they got to do, but what Israel, the Lord's will was for Israel to do. And they knew it. They could discern it, you see. They were given that gracious wisdom to know the mind of the Lord. You know, it's like in all things, really. So many times I have to come, Lord, what's thy mind and what's thy will in it? You could get this one's opinion or that one's opinion, but what does it matter? The thing is, it's the Lord's mind and the Lord's will. He's knowing that. And it's the need of grace to discern it. Well, here, the Lord was to favour them. And you think of David, what an encouragement this was, as he was to become king not only of Judah, but of all Israel, to have men in the land that knew what Israel ought to do. And what a strength it would be to our Queen, wouldn't it, in 2013, if there were those, such as the children of Issachar, that knew what this land should do. And what should they do? First, cry to the God of heaven. Look unto him, not look to themselves. And this is a lesson to us each, and I preach this to myself, because so often we're looking here or we're looking there instead of looking to the Lord, aren't we? And then, secondly, what we should do is get on our knees in humble repentance and confession of sin before the Lord. That's what we should do. We've sinned against the God of heaven, personally, collectively, in the whole nation. This is what Israel should do. And you see, when the Lord brings this church right down to real confession of their sins and beg and plead for mercy, the Lord will smile upon them. And he'll smile upon the nation. That's what we should do. And seek to be nothing before the Lord, and he be the all and in all. We think of that word in the Acts of the Apostles. I think it's spoken concerning the Apostle Paul. What shall we do, Lord? It's a good question, isn't it? What shall we do, Lord? And you think in your heart and mind today, what shall we do? And ask the Lord to unfold it. I often think, and I've mentioned it before, your late beloved pastor, I remember him saying that, he said, you know, take your case to the Lord, spread it all before him, tell him everything. And then come up to the house of God and look for the answer. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do that, it is. Oh, many times can we not look back and say, we've spread it all before him and gone up to the house of God, and there's the answer. It may be in the first hymn. It may be in the reading. It may be in the prayer. It may be in the discourse. And that's a wonderful thing when the Lord tells you what to do. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. And oh, how the dear apostle had to come so low to be submissive to do the will of God, didn't he? But then we read, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. You see, it just wasn't just one or two, there were 200 of these characters, men of understanding that know what Israel ought to do. And all their brethren were at their commandment. They were willing, and this is a lesson we need to learn, they were willing to listen to what these men of wisdom said. Oh, they were. And they were listen to obey that commandment, what the Lord had ordained they should do. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Make me to walk in thy commands, for 'tis a delightful run, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. Well, this is a very wonderful word, really, and may the Holy Spirit lay it deep in our hearts that we may be, each of us personally, given that wisdom, given that understanding, and to know the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the Lord, and to do his commandments.